What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, Future of Everything listeners. Today's episode is about self-driving cars hitting the freeway. And we want to hear from you. Would being able to take a robo-taxi on freeways make you more interested in hailing one? Why or why not? Email us at foepodcast@wsj.com.
All right, I think my Waymo is here. We're going to see how this goes.
Last month, Wall Street Journal reporter Megan Bobrowski took a trip to Phoenix, Arizona, one of the cities that has become home to self-driving car companies testing their tech on real-world streets.
I've already seen two different Waymos dropping passengers off while I'm waiting for mine, and I keep confusing them for mine. So it's kind of crazy that there's that many people already using them here.
As a tech reporter in San Francisco, another major testing ground for companies like Alphabet's Waymo, Megan's not a stranger to the so-called robo-taxis. They look more or less like a regular car, only with cameras and sensors bulging from points around the vehicle. And, of course, no one in the driver's seat.
So anytime we make a turn, the steering wheel turns, which it doesn't need to do. There's a sign on the steering wheel that says the Waymo driver is in control at all times. Please keep your hands off the wheel. So they just don't want you touching the steering wheel. And I'm not going to.
But unlike a human-driven taxi, which would have likely taken the freeway to the hotel, the Waymo robo-taxis Megan took during her trip stuck to regular streets.
It's a long stoplight. We're at a stoplight.
We're at a stoplight again.
Another stoplight. There seems to be a lot of stoplights.
I wonder how much faster this ride would have been if we didn't have to take the surface streets.
Getting to the point where a self-driving car can hop on the freeway has been one of the big challenges facing the industry. But for a few months now, Waymo has been one of the first companies to test its robo-taxis on high-speed roadways without human safety drivers. And Megan says, if it works, this could crack a crucial component of its business.
If your robo-taxi business is not able to drive on the freeway, you're missing out on a really big opportunity.
From the Wall Street Journal, this is the Future of Everything. I'm Danny Lewis. Self-driving cars are taking the on-ramp toward the freeway frontier. But at a time when the technology and the industry is under more scrutiny and facing greater criticism after high-profile mishaps, how might this trip turn out? Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Megan, the self-driving car industry has been very hyped almost from the start. Full self-driving has been just 2 years away for years now. What makes this moment different?
So last year, you had fully self-driving cars on the road for the first time with no one in them. This year, there are cars on the freeway that have no one in them. The cars still had people in them for a long time. Now, the cars do not have people in them anymore, and the cars are on the freeway on the same roads that human drivers are on.
Why is freeway driving so different from having robo-taxis on normal streets?
You are driving at faster speeds. You're having to merge on and off the freeway. And there's some things that are easier, right? You don't have to worry about stopping and going as much, dealing with that sort of traffic. And for the self-driving cars, there's in some ways fewer decisions they're having to make of, you know, is it time to turn left? You know, if they're at an intersection, who goes first? If someone jumps out in front of you, what are you going to do? And so on the freeway, there's not as many of these instances you're going to face. And so that's something that the self-driving cars are not going to have to deal with. But what is difficult for them and what they are having to grapple with is the speeds they're going are so fast. So if anything were to happen, the accidents would likely be worse. People would get more hurt than if an accident happened on a surface street. And one of the big things that we've seen happen on city streets in San Francisco is the cars sometimes just stopping in the middle of the road. And you cannot have that happen on a freeway. Can you imagine if a car just stopped in the middle of a freeway with a 65 mile per hour speed limit? Everything's just heightened.
All right, so the challenges make a lot of sense. But why is freeway driving so important for the companies behind these self-driving cars?
The number one place people want to go in a taxi is to the airport. And to get to the airport, a lot of times you have to take a freeway. And so if your robo-taxi business is not able to drive on the freeway, you're missing out on a really big opportunity.
Who are the companies that are really at the forefront of self-driving car technology right now?
So if you asked this question 6 months ago, I would have had a different answer for you. But right now, Waymo is the main player in this space. Waymo is a company that is owned by Alphabet, which owns Google. They've been doing this for 15 years. And Cruise was the other main leader in this space. That company was a little bit younger, about 10 years old. And they were also giving self-driving rides, but they have since gotten their permits pulled in San Francisco, and they are no longer operating.
Yeah, that was back in the fall and happened after one of Cruise's driverless cars struck and dragged a person who had just been hit by another human-driven car. But to get back to the freeway, Megan, how has it been for these companies, you know, as they've been trying to get their vehicles up to speed? What are some of the challenges that self-driving car engineers and programmers have been having to overcome?
Yeah, so first they have to apply for these permits from the state that they want to operate in. That's step one, is get approval from the state to do this. And step two is to do the testing. Most of the time they'll have someone in the car, and only once they feel confident enough will they take the driver out of the car. And that's the point that Waymo is at in Phoenix.
Megan, you just went down to Phoenix, Arizona to test out some of Waymo's robo-taxis. What was it like? Where did you go?
My goal was to see if I could get around the city by only taking these rides. And so I took 5 rides in total. I did take 1 Uber ride. And I took that because I was running a test. And so it was for journalistic purposes.
Of course.
Yeah, as one does. Other than that, I only took Waymo. I was staying in downtown Phoenix. And so I took a Waymo from the airport.
You're here. Please make sure it's clear before exiting and don't forget any items in the trunk.
Okay, thank you, Waymo.
I took it to a couple meetings I went to.
There's actually a keychain that says, "Take me. We heart being your third wheel."
I took one for the ride just around the city, like a little tour bus around Phoenix.
I think my Waymo count is officially up to 19. So I've seen 19 Waymos.
I took one back to the airport when I left.
Oh, it just clocked 40 miles an hour. I think that's the fastest I've seen a Waymo go. And on freeways, I think they would need to get to at least 65. Oh, another Waymo. So 21.
Did you go on the freeway?
So I was not allowed to take a Waymo on the freeway at this time because they are only allowing Waymo employees to be ferried around in these cars, which is part of the testing. Eventually, it'll open up to everyone. But I tried to sort of run my own test of whether it would be quicker to go on the freeway. And so I took a Waymo to a lunch meeting I had, and the route that I was taking would have been faster to go on the freeway. But it didn't because it's not allowed to go on the freeway with me in the car. And so it went through the city streets, and I was late to my lunch meeting by about 7 minutes, and I blame Waymo for this. Yeah, I was like furiously checking my phone and having to text the person I was meeting, like, "I'm so sorry I'm late. I'm in a Waymo." And, you know, as if that were my excuse. Every stoplight, I was like, "Okay, come on. So on the way back from this meeting, I took an Uber instead.
And this was with a driver.
Yeah, so it has a driver. Same exact route, but reverse. And it took the freeway. And it was 7 minutes faster.
Yeah, it seems like the last thing you want a cab to do is take really slow side roads, especially if you're trying to, say, get to the airport.
Right. Can you imagine missing your flight because your self-driving car couldn't go on the freeway? I know we're joking about it, but there's also, like, the trade-offs of safety here. And, like, obviously, faster isn't always as safe. And so you have to bake that in as well. But there's a way to go on the freeway at a safe speed that is still quicker than it would be to take surface streets.
Plus, robo-taxis will still have to share the freeway with human drivers. How will they handle split-second situations at high speeds? Stick around.
ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kinda heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
One of the challenges driving on the highway or the freeway is sometimes other drivers just do unpredictable things. At some point, you're going to run into someone making a weird lane merge, you know, too quickly or maybe a little too close. How is Waymo trying to program for situations like that where there are fast-moving cars, maybe one is driven by a person and one is a robot? Megan, how does that work out?
Waymo has done a lot of testing in this arena, and they've historically taken a bit more of a cautious approach. They've actually been testing autonomous driving on the freeway for trucks for a long time in tandem to their robo-taxi testing. But what they're trying to do is program for almost every situation that you can think of and tell the car, hey, if you see this, here's what to do. If that happens, do this. And a lot of it is, if something does happen, trying to get the car to pull off at an exit or pull over to the side of the road, but do not stop under any circumstance on the freeway. So to prevent these things from happening, Waymo has built in redundancies. If a sensor fails, there's a backup. Or if, you know, something goes wrong, there is something else that can take its place, fill in for a little bit. That being said, you can't prevent everything, but the idea here is they're trying to be as prepared as they possibly can. And so they've been doing completely driverless rides on the freeway since December, and they have had no cars completely stop on the freeway yet.
You mentioned earlier, this is also a moment when the industry has been having some really high-profile struggles. And in recent weeks, Waymo issued a software recall after two of its cars hit a pickup truck that was being towed backwards. No one was hurt in that incident, but it's put the industry under a lot of scrutiny. How have these incidents affected Waymo's plans to roll out freeway driving?
Waymo, again, has historically been a bit more cautious. It's not super flashy. They're an older company, and they've been cautiously rolling this out. When they get the permit, they don't immediately start doing something. But again, it's sort of a make or break moment here where the stakes are so high that if something were to happen, I don't know that there would be much forgiveness on the public's part. All it really takes is one incident to essentially shut these companies down. I mean, you saw that with Uber a couple years ago, had a really bad accident in Arizona that killed a woman. And after that, they ended up selling off all of their self-driving car technology, and they don't do self-driving cars anymore. Cruise paused operations nationwide, and they have said that they plan to come back. And when they do come back, it'll be in only one city versus they were in a few different cities and had plans for dozens more.
So if everything does go well, and if it's allowed, you know, when would Waymo robo-taxis be able to start taking people on the freeways?
They are very hesitant to put a date on it. I've asked them multiple times, when can I take a Waymo on the freeway? And they do not have an answer for me. So it's hard to say exactly when it's going to happen. But what's happening right now is if you're a human driver, you're driving on the same roads, on the same freeways as self-driving cars. And so that is the more immediate impact, that you are now sharing the road with cars that have no one in them.
Megan Bobrowski is a tech reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The Future of Everything is a production of The Wall Street Journal. This episode was produced by me, Danny Lewis, with additional reporting from Miles Krupa. Thanks for listening.